From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016. We have a great show in store for all of you out there as we will be talking about a trade that fell through for the Detroit Pistons. But despite that news, the D gets a pretty big win against the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. We'll break it down in just a second. You don't want to miss that. We will also be breaking down the Michigan State and Ohio State men's basketball game that takes place tonight at 9 p.m. That's when it's set for tip-off as the Spartans travel to Columbus, Ohio for that one. You don't want to miss that. We'll also be inviting Steve Fenimore, who is the head boys basketball coach for the East Lansing boys basketball team. East Lansing has not lost a game all year, folks. And we only have, a few more weeks left in the high school hoop year. East Lansing sits at 16 and a donut. Crazy stuff, right? So Steve will talk about this remarkable ride for his CAAC Blue Champion team. And on the back end of the show, the NFL Combine starts today. We'll mention a few Spartans who will be participating in the coming days. And we'll wrap things up with Tickle Tuesday as well. So much to get to, so little time. So, hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this Tuesday, February 23rd. The Michigan State men's basketball team is back at it tonight as they travel down to Columbus, Ohio to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. The number 6 Spartans are behind the unranked Buckeyes by 1.5 game in the Big Ten standings. Now, both teams are trying to finish in the top 4 in order to get a bye and secure a spot in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. Also, folks, Michigan State's Ariel Powers has been named both Big Ten Player of the Week and ESPNW National Player of the Week after tying the school record for career double-doubles on Thursday against Rutgers and her 40-point performance against Minnesota on Sunday. The other star of that Minnesota game, the Golden Gophers, Rachel Banham, was also given Player of the Week honors after she put up 52 points this past weekend against Sparty. This is Power's second time winning the award in her 3 seasons as a Spartan. MSU heads to Illinois for a matchup tomorrow night and will wrap up their season at home this Saturday against the number 5 Ohio State Buckeyes. Senior night coming up, folks. Gotta love that. The Detroit Pistons defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers 96-88 last night. Reggie Jackson put up 23 points, and KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, threw in 19 as the Pistons snapped a long 5-game losing streak, and Coach Stan Van Gundy believes it was one of their best performances of the year.
You're talking coming up on 3 weeks without having a win, so it feels good to get it. But it's also the best we've played since the Golden State game, so it wasn't, just an ugly win. I mean, we played well. Guys felt good about it, and it was important.
And news that occurred earlier that day, the Pistons trade with the Houston Rockets has been voided. The Pistons were set to receive Marcus Thornton and Dontonis Mantegiunas. I think I said that right, from the Rockets. However, Mantegiunas, who has been dealing with a back injury, did not pass his physical with the Pistons. Therefore, the deal is now off. A first-round pick and center, Joel Anthony, will return to the Pistons. We'll have more on that in just a second. The Detroit Red Wings are back in action at home tonight, hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets. The 29-20-11 Wings are hoping to avoid their first 5-game losing streak of the year. Detroit has posted a dismal 0-4-11 mark on the power play during this 4-game skid. The NFL Combine is set to begin this afternoon at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. 7 former Michigan State Spartans were invited in this year's Combine, and 2 former Michigan Wolverines will be there to show off their skills as well. You have center Jack Allen, wide receiver Aaron Burbridge, defensive end Shalique Calhoun, Offensive tackle Jack Conklin, quarterback Connor Cook, defensive tackle Joe Heath, and defensive lineman Lawrence Thomas all accepting invitations to the NFL Combine. After getting blown out by the North Carolina Tar Heels on Saturday, the number 12 Miami Hurricanes defeated the number 3 Cavaliers of Virginia 64-61 last night. Miami's Devon Reed scored 21 points, including 2 free throws at the very end, which gave the Hurricanes their 3-point lead with 3.9 seconds remaining. And after the game, Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga talked about how his team bounced back from Saturday's devastating loss.
Nobody goes through life without getting knocked down. It's how you respond to it. We got knocked down big time on Saturday. And you got to get back up and fight to show what you're made of. And I thought we did that tonight against an outstanding Virginia team, ranked 3rd in the country.
Miami now jumps up the number 2 spot in the ACC behind first place North Carolina. Dr. Jamie Notwright, the former Tennessee athletic trainer who accused Peyton Manning of sexually assaulting her in 1996, reportedly called a sexual assault crisis hotline on the night of the alleged incident. According to the form filled out by the crisis center, Notwright described the alleged assault assailant as a, quote, very well-known public figure and, quote, an athlete at UT. And according to the notes of the hotline worker who took the call, Notwright chooses not to go into detail about the incident because she feared for her job, worried and feared for her life as well. P.J. Fleck and the Western Michigan football team plan to honor the shooting victims of the tragic rampage that took place Saturday night in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Details about how the team will honor the victims are still yet to come. And last but not least, the Tennessee Lady Volunteers have fallen outside of the Associated Press Top 25 Women's College Basketball poll for the first time in 31 years. And also, the Tennessee Athletic Department also held a press conference this morning with 16 of their head coaches to address the recent lawsuit. Well, folks, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show.
It's actually a trade that didn't happen. Not to say Multiunis didn't pass his physical, so he won't be played. The trade was voided, rather. Sixers waived Jakar Sampson to make room for Joel Anthony, but Sampson has since signed with the Nuggets. And because Philly is not taking on Joel Anthony's contract, Houston will pay the luxury tax for the second time in franchise history. And the Pistons, of course, like I said, won't have Multiunis restricted free agency rights this offseason. Oof.
It's complicated when you don't pass your physical. No,
yeah, exactly. And we
whole lot of do-overs there.
Welcome to WKER's Current Sports. Thank you so much, George Benson. The great George Benson. Gotta love him. That's a great way to start your Tuesday afternoon. I trust that you all are having a great one out there. I'm your host of WKER's Current Sports, Al Martin. We've got a great show, folks. And I want to start off today's show by, of course, talking about the Detroit Pistons. Last night, of course, they get a big win, a much-needed win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. This team had prior to lost 5 straight games and could have easily been 6 against the favorite to really come out of the East and possibly participate in another NBA Finals run with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Pistons on the road, remarkable job defensively against LeBron James. LeBron James held to just 12 points last night. It was a great defensive effort. What I found particularly interesting was the strategy that the Pistons and Stan Van Gundy enacted to slow down LBJ. It seemed like every time LBJ decided to post up, there was a second defender coming out of nowhere and swiping at the basketball. And the referees for much of last night let both teams be physical. They let them play, which I loved. But LeBron James with just 12 points, that's crazy. Crazy, right? Oh, great defensive effort from the Pistons, though. And we saw some great play from Tobias Harris as well. Really starting to see that trade already pay dividends for this team. And Reggie Jackson, a lot of people have been sleeping on Reggie Jackson when it comes to how clutch this man is. Right now, he actually leads the NBA when it comes to made field goals, points, and three-pointers in the final 3 minutes of play. Leads the NBA, folks. He is the most efficient player in the last 3 minutes of the NBA, of an NBA game. He is, he was spectacular nonetheless last night as well when Cleveland started to make a solid run. They cut the lead. At one point, it was certainly up there in double digits, around, like, I believe, 19 points at one point. Then Cleveland stormed back, and Reggie Jackson just kind of took over that game. But a much-needed win for the Pistons. But earlier that day, they received news that, of course, their trade with Dontis Mantajunas, it ended. And Marcus Thornton as well involved in that trade. It voided because Mantajunas could not pass his physical. Really disappointing stuff, though, because, you know, Detroit Pistons president and coach Stan Van Gundy thought that he added depth and shooting at the power forward spot with this move. But again, he just didn't pass his medical examination, so the team had to ship him back to Houston. Van Gundy went on to say yesterday that, quote, it's disappointing because we saw the possibilities. But yeah, I would do it over again if it were out there. We did our due diligence, just thought there was too much risk. Now, Mantajunas, a 7-footer with 3-point range, he had back surgery a year ago and had played only in 14 games since. He had cleared the medical examination, and he would have helped onset really the loss of Ersan Ilyasova, who of course was dealt to Orlando along with Brandon Jennings, a day earlier for Tobias Harris. That certainly would have helped in that forward position. Harris, really athletic guy. Versatile. He's a bona fide scorer. We saw much of that last night from him. He was great last night. I'm really impressed with what I'm seeing just, you know, in the very few games that I've seen Tobias Harris play in. He certainly will be a great asset for the Pistons as the year moves along. But I really thought Mantajunas could have brought a lot to the table as well. But, you know, now with him not coming to this team and Thornton not also coming to this team, you know, it poses an interesting discussion here because I was reading an ESPN article that actually praised the move for not going through in favor of the Pistons because I forget who the writer was, but the writer basically kind of broke down things saying that, you know, with Mantajunas coming over, it would have cut into the minutes for Stanley Johnson. The rookie for the Detroit Pistons who has been having a solid year. Speaking of Stanley Johnson, he was great last night as well in the clutch when the Pistons needed some buckets. So Mantajunas coming over, it certainly would have cut down the minutes for Stanley Johnson, and it would have altered his role in his rookie season with the team. It would have helped to have Marcus Thornton, you know, without a doubt, because, you know, KCP is just now coming back from that injury that he suffered. And he looked great last night. He had I don't know if you guys saw the highlights from last night's game, but he had a great steal on LeBron James, one of the players who doubled down when LeBron tried to post up. Then he took the ball, you know, coast to coast for a beautiful George Gervin-esque finger roll that put momentum back in the favor of the red, white, and royal blue. But with KCP just now coming back and Jody Meeks out with his injury, Marcus Thornton also could have brought a lot to the table. This is a move that I was certainly sour about. You guys know I'm a big Pistons fan, so when this move was slated to you know, on the table to go through, you know, I thought it definitely could have helped the team, especially when you mentioned their playoff push and trying to move up in the Eastern Conference standings. But not now that it doesn't go through, I really still believe, though, Isaac, that the Pistons still can make the playoffs.
100%. I mean, you look at it, and the Pistons are right in the middle of an Eastern Conference where very few games separate the third and the ninth seed. So the Pistons are right in the mix of things. I'm forgetting exactly how much, but maybe a 2-game difference between those. You see Chicago faltering down the stretch, and the Pistons really have played well recently. Like you said, the Tobias Harris acquisition looks good, but as you mentioned, when this trade for Tobias Harris went through, I said I really liked it. I really did. I love the fact that they get a player who can help them in the long term and really solidify a starting lineup now that previously Ersan Ilyasova totally didn't seem in place for. You know what I mean? He just didn't get the mentality of the team necessarily.
Well, this is the thing I always would say about Ersan Ilyasova. I mean, I think he's got a great jump shot on him. For me, I didn't think he, you know, when you talk about a forward, you want that forward to be able to play inside and out.
Exactly.
I thought that Ersan had a great outside game, but his inside game wasn't nearly as polished.
He was a little bit soft.
Exactly. A little bit soft, definitely. And the thing about Ersan Ilyasova, though, is that if he's involved early and he's knocking shots down early, and it's the same argument I make for guys like Kevin Love, when Ersan is involved early on in the game, that seems to trickle down as the game goes on. How Ersan starts is ideally how he's going to finish. And for most of those times that he was in, he just wouldn't – if he didn't get off to those quick starts, you just knew it was going to be a bad night for Ersan Ilyasova.
Exactly.
Inconsistent.
Yeah, and Harris brings that consistency. He can score. He's done it for a few years, and he creates his own shot as well. The problem I had with that trade, the one problem, was I liked Brandon Jennings off the bench because I like the fact that you have that instant offense spark plug that you can go to whenever you need them. And now the Pistons, they made the move to acquire Marcus Thornton and Donatas Montiunas. I was thrilled because that gives them two solid bench players, both who have played starting roles in the past. Thornton once averaged over 15 points a game in a season, and Donatas Montiunas was a go-to player for the Rockets playing the four. So that really shaped up the bench. It gave them two solid offensive weapons. With this falling through, they can certainly still make the playoffs, but they're lacking in depth. And I don't know how far they could go in the playoffs because they would be a lower seed and going against one of those top seeds. All of those teams have players off the bench who can significantly contribute.
Well, you know, two guys and, you know, two names that I always bring up for the Pistons that have been pretty, you know, pretty solid coming off the bench have been Stanley Johnson and Aaron Baines. I really love those two coming off the bench. Aaron Baines has seemed to just get better as the year has moved on. He's fantastic and a pretty good defender as well. Stanley Johnson, though, you're going to go through rookie woes with him because Stanley is a guy who can certainly score. He's a tough, gritty player. He embodies everything that you want historically when looking at the Detroit Pistons and their tradition of being a bad boy. He's what every Piston should be, to be honest, when it comes to his mentality and how he plays. But the thing is, with him being a rookie, sometimes Stanley Johnson can run a little bit too loose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can force a lot of shots going up in the paint. He takes a lot of errant shots as well early in the shot clock. Just sometimes Stanley needs to cool it down a little bit. But when he plays within his means, and that's the biggest challenge for Stanley Johnson, he is a very effective player coming off the bench. And I love the young kid. He's just got to get consistent with that. But that's what comes with the territory when you talk about a rookie coming into the NBA.
You expect that to happen. And Stanley Johnson was more of a potential player in the first place. In fact, I'd argue that he's had a better season than most people would have forecasted.
Because without a doubt, right.
With the way he's playing, he's played better than Justice Winslow so far, and that was the debate with the Pistons pick. So the fact that Stanley Johnson has been so big for the Pistons, that's fantastic. Also, I questioned the Aaron Baines move when that was made, and I was wrong about that. Like I said, you trust in Stan Van Gundy because Aaron Baines obviously fits the mentality of this team. He's physical. He picks up scrappy points, and he's done a great job for the Pistons. The problem is, I still don't think you have that spark plug, that instant offense guy coming off the bench. And I think that's what Brandon Jennings was. Now, of course, he will have left in the summer. Still crazy about the Pistons move, but you do lack the bench firepower that you will have had otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. So right now, when looking at the Eastern Conference standings, the Pistons are at just sitting outside of the playoffs at number 9 right now. The Bulls and the Hornets are tied for that 8th spot, if you will, at 29-26. So, again, there's still a lot of basketball left to be played. We have just started the second half of the year. So we'll see what takes place. But, again, and also the big thing with the Pistons for me is that they have to be consistent on the defensive end of the basketball. Yeah, again, when the Pistons lock in, I always say this about the Pistons. They get up for the big teams. They get up for – and I think they may be the only NBA team out there right now that have beaten – both teams that were in the NBA Finals last year at least one time. They've beaten now the Cavs twice this season, and of course, they are one of the only teams out of five teams that have beaten the Golden State Warriors. They are one of those teams that have done that. I think they may be the only team that has done that this season. So the Pistons, they certainly get up for the big names. But again, it's those like midweek matchups against the Magic or the Bucks that really bother me, because mentally, the Pistons just don't seem to bring that same energy. They just don't. And last night, Andre Drummond has to play the defense that he played last night on a consistent basis. When he is a rim protector and not allowing anything in the paint and using his frame to disrupt shots, disrupt anybody who just thinks they can trolley up there, he is a force that impacts the game, not only offensively, he's a double-double machine, but defensively as well. And that was a big thing to why the Pistons were able to pull out that win against Cleveland last night. But they have to bring that consistent defense on a nightly basis. And Reggie Jackson, you know, right after the game was said and done last night, you know, the question was posed to him, how were you able to contain LeBron James and that stout Cleveland offense? And Reggie Jackson, you know, he simply just said Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond, when he you know, asserts himself and says, you know what, you're not going to make anything easy here in the paint, the Pistons can beat anybody.
Well, and all five starters, too, were over double digits. All five stars had clearly defined roles defensively. It was a unit out there, and it was best versus best, and the Pistons' best beat the team who you mentioned. They were in the finals last year. This is a team with LeBron James, now a healthy Kyrie Irving, and he sure looked it last night. Kevin Love played a good game, but because of the defense that Andre Drummond played, they really were able to prevent the Cavaliers from getting too many easy buckets. And that's what's so important, because if you recall, the Cavaliers, or rather the Heat and Pacers series 3 years back, when Roy Hibbert played that defensive anchor, that stopper, that wall that you could not run through, It made such a difference because LeBron James struggled getting into the paint, going over that straight-up defense that Hibbert would play. And then also Dwayne Wade and all of the other players suffered because LeBron was ineffective as well. So If Andre Drummond can play a role like that for the Pistons, which he did last night, the Pistons are in for a good year. But you mentioned it's about playing like that night in, night out. And that's what the Pistons sometimes struggle with.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, so now Joel Anthony now returns to the team, and I'm looking here. The Pistons have just signed, as of this early this morning, this article was written, they have just signed a 6'10", Justin Harper is his name, from the D-League. He is from the D-League. Don't know much about Justin Harper, but he is a forward of the Los Angeles Defenders of the NBA Developmental League. He's signed to a 10-day contract. He's 26 years old. 6'10", he's a stretch four, has played in 34 games, starting 19. He's averaging 14.8 points on 49% field goal shooting and making 40% from the three-point line. He also posted 5.1 rebounds per game with the LA Defenders. So we'll see. I don't know anything about Justin Harper. Never even heard of his name. So we'll see how that works out. Again, just a 10-day contract for him. All right, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Tonight, the Michigan State men's basketball team, they hit the road for a 9 p.m. tip-off against the Ohio State Buckeyes out in Columbus, Ohio. Should be a very interesting game. And looking at the Big Ten standings here, Michigan State sitting at 9-5 in conference play. Ohio State just above the Spartans at 10-5. Then you have Indiana at 12-3, sitting atop the conference. Iowa at 11-3, and Maryland at 11-4. I mean, you're talking about one game differentials here, Isaac, and every game is big from here on out. And you know, if you're Michigan State, though, you got to be looking at those games that you lost earlier in this year. When you, of course, Denzel Valentine went out with that stretch of three straight due to his knee surgery, which there's a conspiracy around, which we talked about yesterday, which I don't understand at all. But anyway,
let's not go down that road.
But again, they lose three straight, right? And you look at, you know, those losses. I mean, if the Pistons just win, the Spartans just win two or three of those games, or all three of those games, I mean, they're right in the thick of things for competing for a Big Ten championship here, and they got to be shooting themselves in the foot.
Oh, I think at this point you could say that they were the favorites if they were to win those two, or even two of those games, because the games they have remaining are Ohio State, Penn State, Rutgers, Ohio State. That's not a tough schedule. This Ohio State team has looked questionable at best through some very easy matchups in the Big Ten play. Then, you know, Rutgers and Penn State are both just bad. So Michigan State probably, if they were able to pull out some of those, win a game against Iowa or beat Purdue or any of those, Nebraska, then you'd be saying these are the regular season Big Ten champions. With that, because with the way that Iowa and Indiana's schedule shapes up, they play each other one more time too. So a little bit of self-destructiveness there.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Michigan State, if they finish strong here, they certainly could. Who knows? Maybe they move up the mountaintop in the Big Ten. It's going to be very far-fetched though, because again, they still are a few games out of a 12-3 record or something like that. You know, looking at the top tier of the Big Ten in Indiana, Iowa, and Maryland. But again, if they do beat Ohio State, they can climb a spot up and probably, you know, possibly tie Ohio State for that fourth spot. So we'll see. I mean, we've seen crazy things happen in the men's college basketball year thus far. And as far as this Ohio State team, they enter tonight's matchup with the Spartans, having won four straight games, the longest active streak of any team in the Big Ten Conference. But despite being winners of four in a row, the Buckeyes have been anything but consistent. That's been the big knock on this team. Just this past week, Ohio State played one of its more complete games of the year in a 10-point win over Michigan. But the Buckeyes followed that one up with a pretty poor performance, on the road in an overtime victory against Nebraska, which was playing without, of course, its best player. In that win over the Huskers, just four players for OSU: Jaquan Lyle, who put in 19 points, Keita Bates-Diop, he scored 16, and Jayshon Tate and Mark Loving, both adding 15 each. Just four players for Ohio State scoring in double digits, okay? It's the balance that Thad Matta certainly strives for at the top, but there obviously needs to be some contributions, from other guys in the rotation as well. So we'll see. This is a team that you really don't know what you're getting on a game-to-game basis, but again, they have won four straight games, and we all know how big momentum is during this time of the year. Now, how it plays out for me in this whole scenario, Michigan State is certainly the favorite. According to Vegas right now, they are a 6-point favorite over OSU. And again, they have the best player on the floor in Denzel Valentine, so it won't be easy if the Buckeyes plan on pulling this win out. And there are a lot of people saying, Isaac, that maybe the Buckeyes are on the bubble this year and maybe need at least one more win that they can look at and say, okay, we beat that top dog. We deserve a spot in the NCAA tournament. You know, and again, they play Michigan State tonight at home, and then they have to play Michigan State next week at the Breslin Center in East Lansing, Michigan. So if they're going to get a win and they need a marquee win, ideally you would look at a scenario like tonight and say, okay, this is a dub that the Buckeyes certainly need to solidify a spot in this year's NCAA tourney. But again, it's so tough to beat this team right now. Michigan State seems to be clicking with Denzel Valentine playing great basketball. Brent Forbes has gotten out of his shooting slump. Matt Costello has been Mr. Efficient. They're playing great defensively. You know, I mentioned the defensive leader earlier this week with a guy like Aaron Harris. They're playing great defensively, and I think that's really the X factor and what makes Michigan State so tough to beat right now. But I think this can be a fun game to watch tonight, Isaac, and I think it will be close throughout much of its stretch.
Well, Ohio State, like you said, they're on the bubble, they're on the ledge. So this team's been playing desperate basketball the past few days, and I expect them to keep doing that. It's a really important game for them down the stretch, and they've won four straight now, their last loss coming to Wisconsin on February 4th. So Ohio State's been playing well. An interesting thing to watch, if you ask me, is Ohio State's inside scoring. They don't have as much guard play, but Michigan State's really stepped up the defense so much recently that I think Deontay Davis versus some of Ohio State's big men will be what to watch for in this game. I mean, seeing that him go up against Mark Loving and Keita Bates-Diop, I think that will be a very interesting matchup, as well as Matt Costello, seeing if he can continue the run he's been on in his senior season.
Yeah, and you know what? Again, I brought up, you know, the game against the Huskers, which Ohio State, that's their most recent win right now. You know, not only did they just have four players go into double digits, but Jaquan Lyle, Keita Bates-Diop, Jayshon Tate, and Mark Loving were the only players to score, period, for Ohio State. Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
That's nuts.
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that either.
And
just four players.
Jayshon Tate now is out I mean, he's questioned to be whether he's going to play at all for the rest of this season. So that's a big loss for Ohio State because, like you said, having four players score, that is the opposite of depth.
Oh, my goodness. I'm surprised they were able to pull out that one, to be honest. Again, it's all about balance with that, Mata. So we'll see if Ohio State can get contributions from someone other than those four aforementioned players. So we'll see. It'll be a fun one tonight. I want to get your thoughts on it. What are your predictions on Michigan State versus Ohio State tonight? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll invite our guest for today's show. He's a good friend of WKAR's Current Sports. His name is Steve Finnemore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, and they are, folks, your CAAC Blue Champions of the Year. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I do have a bit of breaking news to bring to you all. This just came through as of, 1:08 p.m., so right when we began our show today, Memphis Grizzlies center Marc Gasol will miss the remainder of the season after having surgery to repair a fracture in his right foot. The team announced that Gasol averaged 16.6 points, 7 rebounds, 3.8 assists this year. He had the procedure to repair a non-displaced type 2 fracture of the navicular bone on Saturday, and the team said he's expected to make a full recovery. So again, Marc Gasol will miss the remainder of the year with the Memphis Grizzlies. Really surprising news there. What do you think about that one, Isaac?
Yeah, I think it sure makes the Western Conference playoff picture a lot more interesting. This is the best player on the Memphis Grizzlies by a good bit. Marc Gasol, of course, former Defensive Player of the Year and someone who I think probably should have been an All-Star this year as well. So Marc Gasol is one of my favorite players. And I think that for the Grizzlies, they've had trouble with injuries in such a variety of positions as well, because Zach Randolph, of course, he's got the old knees now. Mike Conley struggled with his fair share. And now trading away Jeff Green, that's interesting. So we'll see if born ready Lance Stephenson, who they just acquired at the trade deadline, he'll really need to step it up, go retro 3 years ago for him and lead them into the playoffs if they're going
to
make it.
You know, it's so interesting because Lance Stephenson, of course, you know, he went to the Hornets and Michael Jordan loved him. You know, he brought him onto his team. And, you know, you look at, you know, Lance during that period with the Pacers, and he was so good. I mean, you know, he was bothering LeBron James. We all know about the blowing in his ear. And, you know, I looked at this guy and said, I love him. I mean, he was a bona fide scorer. Maybe it's a fluke, though. Maybe that year was a fluke, though, because, you know, you're looking at it at the years after that with his stint with the Hornets and now, you know, being shipped once again. I don't know if we'll ever see that Lance Stephenson again. I don't know. So, I don't know. He's got a window of opportunity here. We'll see what happens. Again, folks, if you want to be a part of today's show, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. I got to remind you all that, hey, tomorrow at 6 p.m., we will also be taping Current Sports TV. That's right, like we do each and every Wednesday here at the WKAR TV studios. I'm excited to be sitting down with this man. His name is Dale Beard. He is an assistant coach for the Lansing Everett boys basketball team. And get this, folks, he was a part of that 1977 Vikings boys basketball squad that went all the way and were able to win a state championship. And, folks, he played alongside the one, the only, Irvin Magic Johnson. Actually, he was Magic Johnson's point guard during that time. So Dale will join me in our WKAR TV Studio S to talk about really his career,
you know, growing up with Magic Johnson, winning a state championship, going on to play professionally overseas. He'll give his thoughts on this year's CAAC Blue boys basketball squad, and he will also talk about whether or not his squad has what it takes to possibly go all the way and win a state championship for the school. So if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, again, with guest Dale Beard, tomorrow night at 6 p.m., all you have to do is sign up online free at WKAR.org. Now, I understand we're trying to get Steve Finnemore, head boys basketball coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, on the line right now. So while we work on that, I got to remind you all that, hey, the NFL Combine starts today as well. And again, there are seven Spartans that will be hitting the gridiron for play, okay? You got center Jack Allen, wide receiver Aaron Burbridge, defensive end Shalique Calhoun, offensive tackle Jack Conklin, quarterback Connor Cook, defensive tackle Joe Heath, and defensive lineman Lawrence Thomas, all accepting invitations to participate in this year's National Football League Scouting Combine. In just a second, we will break down our thoughts on their draft stocks for this upcoming NFL draft. All right, I think we have him on the line right now. He is the head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, and they can call themselves, even with a few games left in the regular season, the champions of the CAAC Blue Division. It's my pleasure to welcome Steve Finnemore to the show. Steve, how you doing, my man?
Hey, Big Al, I'm doing great, man. I'm hanging out here at the Starbucks in downtown East Lansing. The sun is out. I'm hanging out in the corner, man.
It sounds like you're having a great day, my man. That's good stuff, dude. Are you an avid Starbucks guy?
Oh, man, I tell you what, I miss the days of growing up in Brooklyn, and we'd be hanging outside on the corner, and we'd be talking sports all the time. And I just told my wife, I said, hey, I'm going to talk with Al Martin and all his listeners, and just like the old days, talking sports.
Oh, man. You know what? Before I leave this earth, I have to take a visit out to Brooklyn, New York. I've heard great things. And anytime, you know, you mention Brooklyn, Steve, you know, the first thing that comes in my mind is Spike Lee's movie, Do the Right Thing, okay? It just seems like a cool place to grow up at, right?
you know what? I lived about 10 minutes from where they filmed that movie.
Wow.
Bedford-Stuyvesant, it was a great area. And I think every person should watch that movie by Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing, because there's a lot of lessons in that movie, a lot of life lessons that people can learn.
You can say that again. I mean, it's one of my favorite Spike Lee joints, without a doubt. All right, Steve, let's talk about your incredible team this year. Last week, actually, 7 days prior to this day, you guys played a tight one against Grand Ledge, topped the Comets, winning the CAAC Blue outright. First off, Steve, real simple, my man. What's it feel like to already be the conference champion in the Blue Division?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I'll tell you the truth. It's a wonderful feeling to be crowned a regular season champion. It'd be just like Michigan State winning the Big Ten, you know, conference this year. But it's a great feeling knowing that all the work that the kids have put in all season long, that was their first goal. You know, the kids have a few goals in mind, and winning the CAAC Blue was the first goal. And I'll be quite honest, Al, after 2 or 3 days, we still had some more games to play in the regular season, and we said, "Listen, guys, let's leave this in the past, and we'll get back to it. We'll revisit some other time, but we got some more unfinished business to take care of."
That's the mentality you have to have when, of course, you have bigger fish to fry as the year moves on, Steve. And I got to know, when did you all find out? Because there's two things that needed to happen that same night. You guys, of course, needed to handle business and beat Grand Ledge, but you needed some help. You needed Lansing Everett to lose to Holt. When did you find out the news that Everett had fell to Holt to give you guys a title outright? Did you guys know right after the game?
You know, we knew going in that Grand Ledge had 3 losses, and we also knew Everett had 3 losses, and there were 4 games to play. We knew if we beat Grand Ledge, we would win at least a share of the title. Mm-hmm. You know what? We knew Everett was playing Holt, and we never gave it any thought about Holt beating them and eliminating Everett from the race. As soon as the game was over, someone ran up to me, I forget who it was, and said, "You guys are outright champs because Everett just lost the Holt." And we were so excited. So it was great news after beating Grand Ledge on their court, and I think which made it a lot sweeter.
So and that was my follow-up question. It has to feel a lot sweeter knowing that you guys won this thing outright and not having to share that title, right?
you know, Al, my first year at East Lansing back in 2010, we went 17-4 that year. We had a fabulous team. We want to share the title with Okemos, and we lost it on the last night of the season, actually. We lost to Jackson, and it turned out we had to tie it and share it with Okemos that year with Chris Harris and Doc. And it wasn't the same as being the outright champ this year.
Yeah, without a doubt. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, Steve Finnemore. And you know what, Steve? Quite the week that you guys had last week. Not only did you get that win, a close one against Grand Ledge to win the CAAC Blue outright, but then you had a fierce matchup against the Holt Rams, one that went to overtime. Can you kind of take us through that game? Because I was actually at Okemos High School to check out Sexton versus, of course, Jeff Wanch and the Okemos Chiefs that night. But I was listening to the game on the radio, and it just seemed like it was insane in the membrane in the gym that night. What took place in that game?
I tell you what, Al, the one thing about the CAAC Blue, every time you have a game on Tuesday or Friday night, no matter what the records are, throw them out the window, because they're going to be battles, because these kids, they know each other like the back of their hand. The scouting reports go through the roof because obviously it was the second time we were playing Holt, you know, so everybody knows everybody's moves. They know their strengths, their weaknesses. So it was a little lower scoring than normal, but that'll happen. The defense was very good that night, too. The offense was just okay. The place was packed. I mean, I looked up one time during the free throws, and upstairs on our track, the railings were filled too deep in some spots. You couldn't find a seat in the place, but it was a great atmosphere, great, great environment. And number one, Al, I'll tell you this right now. I'll give the fans from both schools, East Lansing and Holt, a lot of credit. There were no, you know, outbursts. There were no incidents. It was awesome. They were well-behaved. And the players were well-behaved. It was a good officiated game also.
As it should be. And you know what, Steve? You know, your guys, I mean, this hasn't been an easy road. I mean, you know, you look at your overall record. You guys are 16-0, have not lost a game the entire year. But again, you guys have fought against some pretty good teams to get to this point and hopefully continue to do so. When looking at your squad, In the last waning moments of a game, you guys have been so resilient down the stretch, Steve. I mean, I could bring up that Grand Ledge game where Caleb Hoekstra, a guy who really struggled throughout much of that game, hey, he hits a big three-pointer with under 2 minutes remaining to give you guys the lead once and for all, and you guys go on to win. Another close one that you have to squeak out in overtime against Holt. I mean, what has it been about the resiliency that your team has shown in the late waning moments of a game, and how? What do you attest to that resiliency, Steve?
Well, see, Al, there's a two-part answer to your question. Number one is last year, all these guys on our team were in these types of games, and they were freshmen, and they were sophomores, and they struggled, and some of them were juniors. So we struggled in those close games, and we lost six games last year by 4 points or less. Mm-hmm. And second of all, they're battle-tested. This year, they know what to expect. They know what to do. They're not nervous. So towards the end of the games, they're used to it, and they come through. Plus, our coaching staff does a tremendous job with instilling confidence in these young men. And we just tell them, we say, go out and make a play, and they make a play. And I'll tell you what, I'll add to that. The character of our kids at East Lansing is tremendous. These kids, as a coach, unless you've coached before, you really don't have an idea. If your players every day come to practice willing to get better, willing to be coachable, it makes things a lot easier.
Steve, I want you to sort of take myself and our listeners inside the huddle during those moments. When it's a tight game, maybe a minute or two left, I mean, what do you tell your team? And what's the body language like inside of those huddles when it's like chaos all around them?
Well, I'll tell you what. Being undefeated makes it a lot easier in those huddles because you have so much confidence, you know. I mean, if we were 0-16, we'd probably be looking around at each other saying, who's going to make the shot? Who's going to make the pass? Who's going to defend? I think during the week in practice, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Sunday, I think you instill that trust and that confidence in your players. And they know, because what we do, Al, in our practices, we had two visitors yesterday just observe us. Everything we do in the game, we do it in practice. Our practices are highly competitive. So the shots that Al Martin takes in the games, he's taking those shots in practice 10, 20, 30 times a day.
Right. It's not new to him, I guess you can say. They prepared for that moment in practice. Got to love that. Now, have you gotten a chance, Steve, to really sit back? Because, you know, as a coach, I understand it. I mean, you're trying to prep for the next game. You're taking it one game at a time. You don't want to look ahead. You don't want to get too high, not get too low. You want to stay even keel. But as you as a coach, I mean, what you're doing this year is pretty special, Steve. Have you gotten a chance to really sit back and enjoy what your squad has done so far this season?
You know, when I watch the film, Al, I'm a big film watcher, and every single day I try to watch part of our team, part of the opponent. And when I see the final score and I realize, wow, we won another one, you know, how do we prepare for the next one? Because you prepare differently. After you lose a game and then you get ready for your next game, you prepare totally different. But I do think about it sometimes, but I really don't want to, because our mentality, Al, every single day, is we're 0-0. That's our record when we go into a game or go into a practice. We don't care about the 16-0. We'd love to be 20-0 after four more games. It hasn't been done since 1958 at East Lansing. So, but believe it or not, I don't want it to sound like a cliche, but we do take one game at a time, because, Al, we play Waverly in the first round of the districts. I cannot tell you who we play in the semis if we beat Waverly. I have no idea.
Wow. Haven't even looked that far ahead, right?
No, you can't. You really got to keep your eye on the next possession, the next game. Tonight, we're at home against Lansing Eastern. They've struggled this year, but you know, on any given night, like the Detroit Pistons last night, nobody had them beating the Cavaliers last night after they lost to the Pelicans. So, Al, on any single night, anybody can beat anyone.
Steve, what's the challenge, if at all, to make sure your team does not let complacency set in?
You got to stay on them. You got to get after them every day in practice. You can't tell them how great they are. You can't say, oh, you average 20 points a game, you're the man, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You have to keep coaching them, Al. It's just like if you're a parent with your kid, you know, they get 100 on a test or they get a 95 on a test. Yeah, but you got to study for science now. You got to study for math. You never want to be, you know, like you said, complacent. You always want to be hungry. You want to be a hungry fighter every time you come out.
When you see maybe a player or two embodying those flashing red lights, you know, maybe getting a little too high on their horse, have you ever come across that at all, Steven? How do you eradicate that?
You know, in the past I have. But this year, we really haven't had it, because I'll tell you right now, it's no secret. Our best player is sophomore, 6'8", Brandon Johns. Every single day that kid comes to practice, especially yesterday, he plays so hard in practice. And like I said, we use the word hunger. Brandon doesn't have to be motivated. My players, they don't have to be motivated. They know what's on the line. Caleb Hoekstra comes from a family of basketball gold. Weston Miles, who's out right now for a week, he comes from a basketball family. These guys know what's at stake, and they love to compete every day. So our job as coaches, you know, we just sit back, we put them in position to be successful, and we look win or lose. Al, it doesn't matter really about the wins and losses anymore for me. I care more about my players than I care about wins and losses.
Yeah, I remember when we had you on before the season started, you made that known. I mean, it's about, you know, not only teaching these young men how to become men, if you will. You know, it's not just about the X's and O's. It goes beyond that. You're teaching them how to become men after they get done with their respective basketball careers. And a two-parter for you here, Steve. What's the update on Weston Miles? How is his recovery coming? And also, are there any other players? I mean, you mentioned guys like Brandon Johns, Caleb Hoekstra as well. Are there any players that have really surprised you this year?
Well, Weston Miles' shoulder, he dislocated it a week ago. He's got one more week to be out, and then he'll be back next week when we play Lansing Catholic and we play Waverly in the regular season to close out the year. And he's working really hard with his therapy. He's always working with our athletic trainer, Theo Hagen, and he'll be ready. And that's going to be a sight for sore eyes when he comes back. We're 3-0 without him, but we need Weston Miles dearly if we're going to make a little run. And second of all, another player who's really stepped up for us this year is 6'4" junior forward DeAndre Robinson. He's done everything we've asked of him. He rebounds, he defends, he scores in traffic. So the one thing about our team now, and it's no secret, we don't rely on one or two guys. We rely on four, five, sometimes six guys.
What specific areas have this team yet to hit the ceiling at, Steve?
Gosh, that's a tough question, Al. Tough question.
Yeah, because I know you guys are playing so good on both sides of the court, you know, but I'm curious to know, you as a coach, I mean, you have a fine detail for perfecting everything on the court. What do you think this team still has to improve upon?
I'm going to be nitpicky here, and I'm going to say our defense, because I think you can always get better as a defensive player. There are certain possessions where I get upset that we let the other team score, and I think every coach feels it. So to be perfectly honest, the answer to your question is definitely probably our defense, and hopefully tonight against Lansing Eastern, we can play a little better at the defensive end.
Steve Finnemore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team. As he just mentioned, the Trojans will take on Lansing Eastern tonight at home. Eastern having a tough year, Steve. 1-11 in the CAAC Blue, 1-16 overall. What are you expecting tonight, my man?
You know, they have three good players who hurt us the last game. They have two good outside shooters. Julius Edwards does a really good job. You know, he's a nice guy. He's all for the players. We played them at their place, and it was a two-point game earlier in the year at halftime. We came out, and we played better in the third and fourth quarter. So it's going to be a battle. Lansing Eastern is not going to lay down. I tell our guys every day, you're like the heavyweight champion of the world. You're coming in with the belt, with the championship belt. People want that belt. They want to be the team that knocked you off, because they can make their regular season by beating us tonight. So we're ready to play, and hopefully our guys perform.
Yes, the target is certainly on your guys' back, Steve, but you guys have been handling it pretty well throughout the year. I will see you tonight. I'll actually be at that game, all right? Steve Finnemore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team. Steve, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Hey, listen, it's always a pleasure coming on your show. You do a tremendous job. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Steve. Gotta love Steve Finnemore. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by bringing you Tickle Tuesday. You don't want to miss that. Also, the NFL Combine starting today as well. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Well, it is Tuesday, ladies and gents, and each and every Tuesday here on the show, we know how the work week can get, especially at the very beginning of the week. A lot of meetings, a lot of bond proposals. I know how it can get, okay? It can get pretty busy, okay? And we love to really take the edge off your work week by bringing you a segment each and every Tuesday entitled Tickle Tuesday, where we're bringing you some of the funniest stories in the world of sports dating back to last week, okay? So here we go. It's time for Tickle Tuesday.
Gentlemen, in exactly 5 days, we will be $100 billion richer.
Oh, how can you not love that intro, right? All right, it's time for Tickle Tuesday. So, what are some of the funniest stories in the world of sports right now? Well, I tell you what, WWE's Monday Night Raw made a stop in Detroit on Monday night, and none other than Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh was in attendance at the Joe. Take a listen.
All right, look at that. Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the University of Michigan. Former Heisman finalist, All-Pro, first-round draft pick, took San Francisco to the Super Bowl, and now the coach of University of Michigan.
Harbaugh's looking hyped.
I tell you what, Isaac, you cannot hate on what Jim Harbaugh is doing. I feel like he's everywhere right now. I mean, he is branding the Block M everywhere. And he's just kind of coming off as a really down-to-earth guy. I mean, it was pretty funny, though, seeing him at Monday Night Raw. I didn't know he was a wrestling fan. Pretty funny stuff.
It would have surprised me if he wasn't there. That type of intensity, right. The over-dramatic wrestling that's so staged. But I saw actually a Deadspin had a meme with him that said, "This is real and I know it," or something like that, which is something totally that Jim Harbaugh would say and do. So, yeah, that actually doesn't surprise me too much.
All right, let's go to our next one here. Kyrie Irving, he said it wasn't a stomach bug that caused him to miss most of the Cleveland Cavaliers' win over the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday. It was actually a bout with bed bugs from the night before. Check out this.
As you can see, I got it like at the top of my head, and this is like bed bugs, and I didn't get any sleep. And we came to the game, and I was like freaked out. And then I started feeling nauseous, so it was just a whole bunch of BS, honestly. So, but coming in today, I just got a lot of rest, and felt better coming in today. Just imagine how freaked out you'd be if you saw freaking five big ass bed bugs just sitting on your pillow. Like, I woke up itching, and I'm just looking around, and I'm like, "Dude, are you serious right now?" And it was 3 a.m. and I was like, I was so tired at that point, so it was whatever.
Yes, the Cavs, like most NBA teams that visit Oklahoma City for road games, stayed at the historic Skirvin Hilton Hotel. Not only is it known as the oldest hotel in OKC, but it also has a reputation for being haunted by a ghost named Effie. I'm scared, man. I'm not staying there if I ever visit OKC.
You and I have had this ghost talk. We need to have it again.
I believe in ghosts, man. I'm not running into Effie if I ever stay there. But crazy stuff, though. Bed bugs. I would probably freak out, too. I've never had a bout with bed bugs and had them biting on my forehead. But I can see why Kyrie Irving was a little bit out of it when it comes to that matchup against OKC.
His description of it was just perfect, though, the way you said that. And maybe I'm not sure if I buy the bed bugs argument. I think that might be the most creative cover-up for a player getting a little bit too rowdy the night before.
Maybe. Who knows? That's a good conspiracy there. All right, last but not least, Kobe Bryant was roasted by Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, and Carmelo Anthony at a recent retirement dinner. Check this out.
Well, he broke the record against us in New Orleans, right? And it took a lot of pride in me, but I asked him for those shoes after the game. Hey, man, would you sign those shoes for me so I can auction off in my foundation? Them shoes still at the crib. For him to take me kind of under his wing during the Olympics, like, that meant more to me than anybody else saying, "Melo, I got you," or "do this," or any advice for anybody else. So he's like a mentor to me. He's my advisor. That's my big brother. I love him to death. I got a gift too. Was it Kane?
Kane, brother.
Was it Kane? Because there ain't going to be too many fadeaways now. You're going to be sitting in your volleyball game.
One of our gifts to you is a Netflix prescription for a year. We got the Black Mamba robe right here. The Black Mamba underwear.
I think that, you know, as a player growing up, y'all always had the ambition of trying to be one of the all-time greats and wanting to win multiple championships. But, you know, as you get older and you start to kind of understand that it's really not about the championships, it's about the journey. And it's really about the journey and as it continues. And the next generation, and then the generation after that.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. TMZ actually profiled that moment. Again, Dwayne Wade, he got Kobe, I believe it was a cane and some denture stuff. So crazy stuff. We'll be back at it tomorrow, folks. Have a great one, and as always, be easy, people.